Welcome back to Administrative Static. Mark and I are going to discuss something that really isn't in what we normally do here at NCLA, but I had an opportunity because a friend of ours, John Sauer, was arguing the Trump v. U.S. case, whether Trump has absolute immunity before the Supreme Court, and I and our colleague Janine Yunus wanted to go see him. And so we went down to watch it, and I have been to a number of arguments this term, and I have to say I think it was the best, as in the most exciting, of that both of the both of the advocates were really at the top of their game. Both John was and
John Sauer and Michael Drabin.
Michael Drabin. And the court was at the top of its game too, I thought. I didn't think there were any silly questions or anything like that. They were all trying to make their points as they normally do. But I just thought it's the last. I don't think they're having any more arguments. I think it was the last argument because it was like tacked on.
Right.
So it really was. If you look at this like a Broadway thing, it was really a good finale, I think, for the term. And here's what happened. So John Sauer gets up there, and his argument is a maximalist argument that to allow the president to be prosecuted without impeachment and conviction in the Senate is to open up basically a banana republic. And he quoted Ben Franklin quite a bit at the Constitutional Convention.
Sort of any prosecutor could come after him. Is
right.
that the idea?
Yes. And also that he quoted George Washington, it would cause increased factionalism. And I think that argument, given the present moment, is a decent emotional argument that indeed one president prosecuting another president and all this. And but the thing that he did that and I'm sure this has been reported in the papers, but because he says that if it's an official act, it is completely absolute immunity. You don't look behind motives or anything. So Justice Kagan asked him, what about a coup? What about he orders his generals, I'm not leaving, you go do this. And he said, if it was an official act, no. And he said, but there's other protections. And what he then went to was the Criminal Code of Justice, and Alito picked it up, and various other things that would protect from this type of thing happening. And then they did the SEAL Team 6, just as they did in the D.C. Circuit. And he said, if it's an official act and he thinks that this guy is a danger and he's overseas and he's a political opponent, and he said, no, he's not overseas, he's here. And so he goes, if it's an official act, he stuck to his guns, by God, so to speak. And the way I said I thought Kagan was going to ask this question, but she didn't, but I would have asked it. And so you're saying if he orders, because he said very clearly, and Justice Barrett went through, these are private acts. She read from the indictment. That's private. That's private. And John said, yes, that's private. That is not protected. So he had a stake that certain things in the indictment are private. He said, we give those up. And then the special prosecutor Drabin had things where he said, you know, there are some core things that you can't prosecute the president on. And he goes, ambassadors, he starts going through the core Article II ones. Okay. But that wasn't in his briefs. I mean, I think that he moved, and Gorsuch said this, you've moved toward each other from the briefs because it wasn't whole, you know, I didn't see it wholly in there.
Yeah.
But they did move toward it. I mean, there's lots of room, but they did move toward each other. They gave the court
so they're nine paces away instead of 10 paces away.
Exactly.
Shooting at each other.
Yes. And I did think that if I was up there, I would ask John, so if he orders SEAL Team 6 to kill someone, it's protected. But if he shoots a man on Fifth Avenue, then he can be prosecuted because that's a private act, right? But no one asked. Drabin, he said it's not in the text, right? So everybody agrees it's not in the text. So the real question is there a structural protection? And they went through the structural protection and why it is necessary. And I think even Barrett, I think where they are is what, and I've seen some of the commentators call it skinny immunity, which is, it's not absolute immunity, but there are things that are going to be protected. And one of the interesting things that – go ahead.
And I was just going to say, and what I've seen commentators say is, and if they do that skin immunity, that has to get sent back to the district court to sort out, okay, which things are in the skin immunity and which things aren't, and that would push any trial off until after the election in all likelihood.
I think that's probably true, particularly because – you know, they were talking about Katz's opinion, a D.C. Circuit opinion, not this one, but another one, Burlingame, the name's escaping, but it's like that. And Sauer said he would have accepts that analysis of official acts and not. And Dernien said, you know, I kind of accept it too, but he's reading it too much, you know. So once again, they moved toward each other. They kind of liked it, but as long as it's interpreted the right way for their side.
Right. My gloss on it is the right gloss.
Correct.
On it.
Yeah. Correct. And the justices were all on this pretty hard. I mean, Alito was asking, to hear Alito, you know, I always say about Justice Alito that he's it's like the beginning of the Blues Brothers when they show up with the cop car to be the new Bluesmobile, you know, cop shocks, cop tires, cop, you know, and that's how I look at Justice Alito. But he was saying, he was going on about how easy it is to indict people and that any motivated prosecutor can get a grand jury.
Well, he is a former U.S. attorney.
I know. Does a grand jury ever say no? Well, it happens. How often? You know, it was very funny. And I'm sure all the civil libertarians out there who have had Justice Alito whack them around are going to be, hey,
now
wait a minute.
Now you're concerned about it?
Now you're concerned about it? So it was very – but it was very sharp. And Justice Thomas asked some questions about how broad this was. And you know, I think he might ask the question about, well, why was Nixon pardoned? And there were private acts. The answer was private acts. I don't know if that's really – what Ford thought. But then Kavanaugh was like all pro Ford. And he said something that I was kind of stunned by, that I know he believes, but I've never seen it said at the Supreme Court with all of them there, that Morrison Olson was wrongly decided. Mm. And I think it's the word. And he was with Ken Starr,
yeah,
right?
For Ken Starr,
and
yeah.
He talked about how Reagan and Bush, Bush won, and Clinton certainly didn't think that this was a mild, you know, they thought this was terrible. And Dernien says, well, we have much more protections here. You know, that statute's gone. And in any event, no one likes being investigated.
Special prosecutor investigation is more than just being investigated.
Correct.
It is turning your life upside down.
Yeah. As Kavanaugh, he quoted, I forget who he quoted, but it might have been Scalia, but you know, find me the man, and I'll find you the crime.
Well, that's the Soviet,
Stalin
era. Yeah, I can't remember the guy who said it, but it was
Stalin.
Like
Stalin said it, but yeah, exactly. So
police or something,
Beria maybe. So, but the point is, I think that so he just said we're not doing that again. So Kavanaugh is very. And nobody said, you know what I like? Morrison v. Olson. No, nobody said that. And so that has really, really affected them all. And Kavanaugh obviously has a personal experience with it as the prosecutor. So that I found that fascinating.
I think that's fascinating. I'm also fascinated. You said before we started on the air here that the bar really showed up for this one.
Oh, yeah. Seth Maxman was there. Neil Katyal. There was someone else who I should recognize, but I don't recognize him. I can't attach the face to the name, but it did strike me that there were a number of
just as spectators.
Yeah, just as spectators. And the press was there. Jan Crawford, who wrote Supreme Conflict,
yeah.
Which is
Nina
a great.
Totenberg,
Nina
said.
Totenberg was there talking to Seth, and it was quite. Like I said, it was quite the finale for the whole thing. And I do think I think the chief wants something, you know, some cabin. But he's not an absolute immunity guy. I can from his questions, he's like he questioned both sides. But the one who was absolutely almost laughing, scoffing at the absolute immunity was Barrett, because she was asking Janine a question. Well, my colleague thinks this, and she says, "Yeah, I agree with you. That's not. I mean, when did nobody gives tells like that?" But she was like, "Oh yeah." I'm like, "Huh? Wonder which way she's going on absolute immunity." So it was. It not everybody was questioned exactly the exact way you thought. I mean, in general.
So no one seemed to be towing the absolute immunity line, and no one seemed to be towing the you can absolutely prosecute line either.
Yeah, there's no Article II protection at all. But the real split between the justices, I think, because Jackson was pushing this, and I think Kagan was too, was that we only have to decide on this indictment. But Gorsuch said, we're deciding this for the ages. And Kavanaugh was too. And so did Alito said this, and Roberts said this. And
Roberts will write this opinion, right?
Has to be.
Yeah.
So they all said, look, I don't really care about this indictment or this press. I'm looking for what is the rules. And they had a whole discussion of can they reach out? And this time the government, Janine said—
Can they reach out? What do you mean?
Certain questions had not been argued below
that
they were all addressing. And Janine for the government says, you know, we don't like absolute immunity coming up here on absolute immunity. He's put all his eggs in the absolute immunity, and then these other issues have come up. But in this case, we think you should address them. So that was another place where everyone very came together on something where you always split. If the indictment's good, you know, as the government thinks it is, they just want that. But they all – I think everyone in that room knew this was for the ages. And so when Jackson and Kagan were saying, well, how far should we go outside? How many other questions should we reach? And, you know, those are reasonable questions. But in any event – a big ending for the Supreme Court.
Showstopper, sounds like.
Yeah, showstopper. I mean, even if you don't like arguments, I would go listen to this. I think you'd learn a lot about the Constitution. It was quite a day. And as I said, I think everyone was on top of their game.
Terrific. Well, thanks for filling us in on it, John.